Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Métis Voices Radio Show, our own internet radio program at CBS Radio every Friday evening. Tonight, we start off the program by playing the Red River Jig by the Métis Toe Tappers. Our show begins at 7:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Station 2. To listen, just click the listen arrow at the top. If that doesn't work, scroll down and choose whichever listen live button works for you. Each show features a variety of subjects and special guests coming to you live from the Machif Métis Museum in beautiful Raven Beach, just outside of Clearwater, British Columbia, Canada. Call-in lines will be open throughout the program. Here are the numbers to call. In the U.S. and Canada, toll-free, 888-228-4494. And worldwide, toll-free, 877-489-6350. For direct lines, go to BBS Station 2 main page under the header Call In and Speak Live. And don't worry if you miss any of these call-in numbers. They are posted on the BBS Radio website, all stations, and repeated on the program. And now, introducing your host, Dale Haggerty.
And welcome to our Friday, October 31st, Halloween Métis Voices radio program. Tonight, we have an open line show because it's Halloween. We would like to hear from you and anyone who has a scary experience, story, or legend that they would like to share with all of us. Now having to say that tonight, even though it's an open line show, we would like to provide a variety of subjects for your listening pleasure. We welcome all callers on the strictly fun evening and only Halloween theme, as well as we've asked one of our Métis ghost hunters to chat with us. So I'd like to introduce you from Winnipeg, Manitoba, our good friend and cousin, Joanne Arcan. Hi, Joanne.
Tansi, how are you?
Oh, I'm really good.
That's Joanne Arnold, baby.
Yeah. Start off our program on the right note. For our special evening, we would like to chat with you about your recent ghost hunt experience in Winnipeg area. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Well, it's a tour that goes ghost tour that goes on every year in Winnipeg, and it's the Muddy Waters ghost tour that puts it on. I believe they start in, I believe it's May, and they end in October. So I believe tonight is their last night of ghost tour, and I think right now they're holding a vigil at, if I'm not badly mistaken, I think at Hotel Fort Garry. And so my sister and myself decided to get a group together and go on a tour, because everybody's been talking about doing vigils and whatnot, and got myself interested in it. So we decided to go this one night, and it was very productive.
Good, good, good. It couldn't be the gentleman that Mr. Louis Riel had executed that maybe the spirits has come back and taunt us.
Well, that would be interesting, interesting to know, because his memorabilia, as you know, his sash, is at the St. Boniface Museum. So, and they're right now in the process of doing a room for him. And we did get quite a bit of look-like activity in there. Like it could, it could be dust and whatnot. But some of those orbs we caught were very transparent, and it was very exciting.
I saw some of those pictures you sent, Joanne. They were really interesting.
Yeah. A lot. The St. Boniface Museum is run by the Grey Nuns home, and they started out in Quebec and came to Manitoba to teach the new wives and new mothers and whatnot, one of the head nuns, I can't remember what her name was, but she started it up and apparently died there. And from what we were told on the tour, that some people have definitely seen her. And when we walked into the building and took a picture, there was this great big orb that met us as we came in, and I found that very exciting, because one of my friends in the UK who also saw that picture, not the UK, pardon me, the United States, also said that she saw in the center of that orb a triangle, which apparently resembles or represents, I should say, the Holy Trinity. Now, she's more into this than, and she's been in it longer than I have, so I and no has more information about stuff like this. So she said that it's very, very. It was a very religious, I guess, type of surroundings, and I had told her, because I didn't tell her what it was, and wrote her back and said, well, yes, and then I explained to her what it was, and so that accounts for what she read.
So you've been to the museum a couple times, have you, there?
Well, actually that was my first night there, but we've driven past it quite a few times. Apparently my sister's been there once or twice, and we've always been wanting to go in there to check it out, and we finally got our chance that night, yes.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. So what else is happening in your part of the neck of the woods?
Oh, not much. Well, I shouldn't say not much right now. We've got a celebration going on here. It's called Manitouabi, and it's the celebration of the First Nations gatherings, and there's competition and whatnot going on at here, and it's on until about the 9th of November. So I'm hoping to get to that as well to check out the dancing and the drumming. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've been hearing all about it all on the news here, and boy, that would have been quite an experience to go down there. One of these times, we're just going to be down there and spend a couple weeks down there in Manitoba. We'll have to come in when the mosquitoes are just about sleeping, so they don't bother me. Yeah. Because I heard the mosquitoes in Manitoba, it's your national bird?
Yes.
Or your national insect?
Yes, our national bird.
Yeah, the national bird. They're that big, I heard.
Yeah. No, it was I've been to a couple of powwows here in Manitoba, and I've been really wanting to go to the Manitouabi, and at the end of Manitouabi they do the First Nations Music Awards, so that would be interesting to go to, and you're able to buy tickets to go and witness it too. So
Yeah, that's nice.
Hey, Joanne, getting back to the ghost hunting you did, you said there were some things that you remembered that you didn't talk about on Derek's show. What were those things?
I'm actually looking at a photo right now my sister sent me, and I remember, I didn't remember about this until she sent me the photo. We were doing a vigil in the cemetery, and at this particular gravesite of a little boy, Joseph. And apparently they go to this little boy every time they do the vigil. They have stuck toys in their pockets and have asked for responses of what the toy is, and he's given the responses. So this one particular night we went, she had two toys, and they were doing the vigil and asking him questions, and one of the co-workers of my sister that we went on this vigil with snapped a picture just as they were asking little Joseph a question. And I don't know if she sent it to Derek and Derek sent it on to you guys, but if not, I'll send it on to you, and then you can tell me whether you've seen it or not. There is everything else around the people, there's nothing. But right in front of these three people that are doing the vigil, there is the divine rod, like, you know, divining rods, and I can't see what else there was. But there was three people standing there, and the guide was asking the questions, and it almost looks like an image of a little boy in a mist. And I don't know if she sent that on to Derek and Derek sent it on to you guys, but go ahead.
No, I don't think we've gotten that, so please send it on to us.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
It wasn't...
Hello?
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 Hi, welcome
hello?
To the show. Hi, welcome to the show.
Already?
Who's this?
Are you guys talking about me already?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You welcome, Derek. How you doing, my friend?
Good. We're over here at Astral Connections. And everyone wants to say hi to you guys.
Hi.
Everyone, hang on. Barb?
You got there?
You're going to say hi to Dale.
Okay. Hi, Dale and
Dale.
Hi, Dale.
Woo! Astral Connections! Are you there?
Yeah. We're here.
Are you guys there?
Yeah,
are you
we're
out
here.
There? Okay, we're sending you all that power, okay?
Okay, sounds
sure,
good.
Sure, give you back
yeah.
to Dale. Yeah.
Joanne's on the other line. Have you got any questions for her?
Me ask Joanne?
Yeah.
Joanne, I would ask three questions.
I didn't hear you.
I said Joanne always asks me questions.
Yeah, well, okay, it's your turn now.
Yeah, okay. No, we're over at Astral Connections, and Barb told me we should call you guys to say hi, because we're doing our big Halloween thing here, as you guys are doing your big Halloween thing there.
Are you having fun?
Good.
Huh?
Are you having fun?
We got about 40 people here. We're all talking about you.
Oh, there you go.
Well, have a good time, you guys.
Hey, listen,
yeah,
Derek.
Yeah, we're doing our own little story.
We're trying to make a big star out of Joanne tonight, so ask a couple questions.
Good. Well, I got one question for Joanne, because I never did ask her this one here, but when are they going to go back to do more research? Do they have, and like, you guys need a, basically you need a, what do you call a, what's it called, video camera. You taking a video camera with you to do this?
Well, I was talking to Gail, and she said that she'll talk to the others because she knows that they'll be all for it. We just have to get, I guess, permission from St. B. Museum. And there was a video camera, and apparently they didn't pick anything up. So
Yeah, but you know what? You got to call them out.
Yeah, you do have to call them out.
And they're going, you can't stand there, okay, anybody wants to talk, you got to encourage them, you know?
When you
want Dale, the big guy, to do something for you, you got to call him out.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I'm not easy to be called out either.
Sure he is. He's not cheap.
I'm not cheap. Just easy.
No, not cheap. Okay, you guys take care. Enjoy your show. We'll chat with you later. Thank you very much.
Thanks for
calling. Have a good evening.
Thanks a lot, Derek.
Guys.
Yeah, say hi to everybody for us.
Will do. Bye.
Well, listen, Dale's got some stuff here she wants to share with us. She went on the internet to get some stories off the internet there. So she's going to do a little bit of advertising, and then she'll get back to Joanne because
hang on,
okay?
Yeah, Joanne. Yeah, we're just
I will.
Okay, hang on. Wanted to let the callers know the phone lines are open in Canada and the U.S. 1-888-228-4494 and worldwide 1-877-489-6350. Please call in with any scary experiences or stories or legends you may have. I looked up one legend recently on the internet, as Dale was telling you just before I came on here, and found there was one about a rougarou. This is a Michif pronunciation of the French phrase loup-garou, werewolf or goblin. Some stories about the rougarou come from French werewolf legends. Some are adaptations of Algonquin, Wendigo, Witico legends about man-eating ice monsters, and some are combinations of the two. In most rougarou stories, a Métis person is turned into a rougarou by catching sight of another rougarou, not being bitten by one, as in French werewolf legends, or committing sins of cannibalism or greed, as in Algonquin Wendigo legends. Anybody heard of this one? And Nanabush, Wiskachak, or Tijon. These are benevolent trickster transformer figures that have largely merged together in traditional Métis folktales. Nanabush is the Michif pronunciation of the Ojibwe hero Nanabozho. Aren't you glad I'm saying all this and not letting Dale do this? Anyway, and is the most common name given to the Métis hero. Wiskachak is a traditional Cree trickster, and Tijon is a Michif pronunciation of the French-Canadian folk hero Petit Jean, Little Jean. Not the one from Robin Hood, I don't think. Although the original Petit Jean is quite different in character from the two Algonquin heroes, Nanabozho and Wiskachak, Métis storytellers tend to use the three characters interchangeably, and the same story can be heard ascribed to any of these three trickster figures. Ninabush is pronounced similar to Nainabush, and Wiskachak is pronounced similar to Wisakechak, so you can see I was right off too, and is often called the Whiskey Jack by English-speaking Métis people, and Tijon is pronounced Tijon. I got that right. Now, these are only two legends. How about the real ghostly stories out there? So anybody that has any stories, give us a call. And now, we're going to go back to Joanne, now that she's had her little break. Okay, Joanne.
Yeah. It's Nana Bojo.
Is it? Oh, good girl, so you've heard of it.
And it's cool. Wisakijak.
Wonderful. So you're familiar? familiar with these stories.
Oh, yes, they were tricksters.
Ah, good girl. So what can you tell us about them?
Well, just that they pulled a lot of pranks on a lot of people and disguised themselves all the time, and they were just like, they tricked you. Like, you know, like there's legends in there. I don't know all of them myself, just bits and pieces here and there, but yeah, he was a trickster. Or they both were. Well, actually they may be the same ones.
Well, did your elders teach you those stories, or how did
actually,
you learn?
Actually, no. I learned through friends. I have a friend who was teaching the Cree teachings at one of the schools that I worked at, and she always told the stories of Weesakijak. And then we used to have Aboriginal days at another school we went to, and we used to have speakers come in, and they were Ojibwe, and they used to talk about Nanabujo. And there's a whole pile of books written about Nanabujo and all his trickery and all the lessons that that were being taught through him, and it's pretty interesting, very interesting. It captures your attention, even for adults. It captures your attention.
Yeah. Well, that was the first time I heard about such legends, is just by going into the internet, because I knew we were going to have this Halloween show, and I thought, well, before we had asked you to come on for the evening, I thought, well, maybe we should just delve into what kind of legends or stories, you know, scary stories are out there, right, for the
mm-hmm.
people. Well, that's
mm-hmm.
how I first learned of them, too. So, Joanne, carry on with what you were saying before Derek phoned in, if you can remember where you left off at with the...
I think I was talking about the little boy.
Oh, right, that's right.
And I'm in the process right now of sending you guys the picture, but this tour guide, she apparently talks to him, like tries to communicate with him all the time, and with dowsing rods, and she's often put a toy in one of her pockets, and she's asked him to search for it or tell her which one that it's in, and she's been very successful. So he's told her like which pocket it's been in and whatnot. And he gets pretty excited when she comes around. So
is this the little ghost boy?
Yeah.
Boy? Oh, cool.
Joseph. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to interrupt you here. I have to tell you this story that my friend Bob Kelly, me and him run a children's camp for the Michif Historical Society and Métis Family Services, and we had these children there that were in care, and of course they would come for the weekend. And I have to tell you the story that that Musham and I were there, and of course we're always at the campfire talking about stories. And Musham, Bob, he had the imagination that would carry away with anybody. And one of the stories that was happening is that everybody was having lunch one afternoon there, and it was a beautiful day, and we were having lunch. And this gentleman was really walking really slow, and of course he's on the highway, and of course the campground was just off the highway. And Musham gathered all the kids, and he said, "Kids, come here, I got to tell you a little story here." And so the kids all ran into the group, and he said, "Now, I don't want anybody looking at this gentleman." He says, "But you see this gentleman?" He said, "You got to be careful. This gentleman, he attracts the kids, and if you look at him too long, you're going to he's going to, his eyes will take you away and you'll disappear and you don't even know what happens to you. So, of course, that was the start of this, the stuff that we were doing. So we were at the campfire and we were having all kinds of having fun, and we had these glow sticks that we would be, had string attached, invisible string, so, you know, we would pull them across the ground and to attract the kids from, and of course there was a little bit of screaming, and then Mushum would say, shh, shh, you know, don't, I don't want you to look at these guys, you know, because they'll come over here and they'll snatch you, sort of thing. So they had the kids there. So anyways, in the meantime, so all this was going on, and then of course this gentleman, you could see him, he what he did was eventually Bob and I found out what this gentleman does. He was an old time miner that just lived up in the area, and he would walk all the way into town to the store, and we're talking about 5 to 10 to 15 miles, depending on where he was coming from. And then he would walk by the campground, and he did this about 3 times a day, you know, because I guess he had nothing else to do, and it kept him in exercises. Anyways, we're talking about the story about him coming, and, you know, he has the legends of, he gets the, if you looked at him, he looks at you, you know, you just disappear, sort of thing. And this one night that Bob's telling the story, he walks by the campground, and of course everybody's, Bob's going, Mush and Bob's going, shh, don't look at him, don't look at him, don't look at him like this. And of course, in the middle of the night, this is the funniest thing he says, and he Bob used to have to look after these two little guys because they used to do the wetting the beds, and of course, so he used to have to get them up in the middle of the night about 3 o'clock in the morning, and of course, get him up, and he'd take him out to the washroom and just go outside the onto the side of the highway and do their little whiz thing, sort of thing. And for goodness sakes, if Bob gets up and he has the two little kids, and here comes this gentleman walking back from the store, and it scared the heck out of Bob, and I'll tell you, he's coming rattling on my door, Dale, get out here. And of course, I just couldn't help but crack up laughing because the joke was reversed on Bob this time, right? Oh, my God. I couldn't tell anybody, but we told a few people, and they just cracked up laughing. Bob today has never forgot that. That was a lot of fun, boy, I'll tell you.
You should have seen his eyes, Joanne.
Oh, yeah.
They got him. Oh, yeah. They got him back for scaring the little ones.
Oh, yeah.
Funny.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, I just got your picture in here,
uh-huh.
And I'm looking at it, Joe, and I don't see particularly a little boy, but I do see sort of like a misty figure.
I sort of see a figure,
right
in there, yeah.
Yeah.
What,
yeah. Sort of
what,
like,
yeah.
Huh?
What makes the, me, please. Yeah, what makes me think that it's the little boy, it looks like there is an arm, like there's the figure, and then there's an arm off to the left. It
arm
looks like it's
up
reaching
in the air,
out.
Like,
yeah.
He's trying to hold on to the gentleman's hand.
Yeah.
Does that look like?
Yeah.
And
I also see an orb just down from him.
Yeah.
There's an orb.
After they had stopped with the dousing and whatnot, you see the woman in the long dress?
Yes, and I love that long dress. But that
she walked, yeah. They're period costumes. Muddy Waters dresses up in period costumes. The one in the black with the hat, the tall black hat, she dresses up as in period clothing as, now I don't know if it's a young man or an older man, but she dresses up in the knickers and the high socks and the white shirt with the suspenders and the old cap that they used to wear back then, you know, the big floppy cap, and she wears a noose around her neck, and that's when they do the reenactments in the Vaughan jail, and that only happens once, when when the tour begins, and that's in May, I believe, and that only happens once because the jail is becoming so dilapidated, I believe, because the third floor is deteriorating, and I guess, you know, coming in and out with tours would probably would not be safe, so they only do that once a year. And I was kind of hoping it was going to be when I went, but unfortunately it wasn't. They said they only do that at the beginning, so I'm going to have to go at the beginning, I guess, next year.
Yeah.
But that woman, like I was saying, the one in the long period dress, she had to go over to the gentleman where I see like an arm reaching up to his hand. She had to go over to him afterwards because he said he had such an odd sensation going through his arms, and she had to go. Go ahead.
You can see that here in the picture.
Yeah.
And she said she had to rub, like I watched her, like it was almost like she was drawing the energy out of his arms when she was like, I couldn't hear what she was saying, but she was like motioning her hands over his arms and almost like drawing that energy that he was feeling. And he said it wasn't, I guess, because he wasn't used to think something like that, and she was I guess she was trying to relax him as well, because he said he didn't like that feeling. And I remember her just, you know, like drawing the energy out, like trying to get that sensation off of his arms.
Wow. Was it sort of a cold?
I didn't hear exactly what kind of a sensation he had. All I heard him say was, I have this sensation and I don't like it. I don't like this feeling. And so she came over and I guess I should have gone up to him and asked him what he felt, but I didn't, and I just remember her doing that, you know, just looked like she was just drawing whatever it was out of him. It was pretty amazing to see, because the only time I ever saw somebody do that is in Aboriginal ceremonies, where they would take the feather and draw negative energy out or bad spirits out, or, you know, stuff like that off the body. I've seen that happen a couple of times.
Joanne, I was going to ask you, what about your own experiences? Do you have any experiences yourself that
you
can tell us? Go for it, girl.
Well, I see things in my house, and it's not my family. I was telling Derek one time, I was just about getting ready for bed, and I was talking to Creator, and I was thanking him for the day and whatnot, and all of a sudden, in my mind's eye, I got drawn to the top of my stairs, and all the lights in the house were out, but at the top of my stairs, the hallway light was on, and I was looking down, and there was this young guy in all dressed in white with a hoodie over his head. I couldn't see his face, and he was coming up my stairs. And all I can remember myself saying is, oh, my God, how did he get in my house? And the feeling that I got next was like overwhelming panic, and it wasn't coming from me. And I was very uneased with this feeling, and I kept saying to my guides, you know, like, please control this for me. Like, I can't control it. Help me control it. And I think this young spirit was in such a panic that I didn't know what else to do. So I had asked my guides to open the door to spirit world, to the white light, and send him over. And I imagined the door opening and sent him off to spirit world. And when I talked to Derek about that, he said that that was my first crossing, which was very an unbelievable feeling. And then to find out And then to find out the next day that a young gentleman passed away from a gunshot incident.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And then
I gotta tell you a story that you know, before I started to believe in spirits and stuff like this, you know, I was a young boy and I was talking to my mom and I says, "Mom, have you ever seen a ghost?" And I was just sort of joking, and I'm talking about when I was probably about 10 or 12 years old, and I remember what she said to me. She said, "You know, you never should make fun of the spirits." And I says, but she didn't say spirits. She said ghost. And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She says, "I saw a ghost." She says, "I remember, we're all living at home and we're all young people and young kids, and we were all living in one of the homesteads out in Saskatchewan there." And she says, "And of course, you know, they didn't have plumbing, so they had to go outside to go to the washroom and to the outhouse." And she said she walked out and she said that she could actually see somebody that was sitting on top of the washroom on top of the outhouse, she said. And which scared her a lot, and she came into the house and she said to her mom, she said, I gotta go to the bathroom, but there's somebody on top of the outhouse, Mom." And of course she said to her, she says, "What you got to do is you just gotta say, 'Listen, I need to use the washroom and you need to move on.'" And when she came out, that's what my mom said, and she said, that's what she said to the spirits, and the spirits moved on. So,
wow.
You know, and from that point on, you keep that in your mind, and
yep.
You know, you don't tell people about stuff like this because they figure, all right, has this guy been doing too much drugs and he's on
acid
too much? You know?
Yeah. I saw my first spirit when I was 15 years old, and I didn't know what to do. Like it looked like he was actually right there in the room with me, and it wasn't like he was making eye contact with me, and it wasn't like he was standing, wanting me, like looking at me or anything like that. He was in the wrong place, so he had to get out. It was like he was tiptoeing out of the room, and I watched him go from the hallway through the dining room and into the kitchen, and it was pitch black, and as soon as he got to the doorway of the kitchen, he disappeared. So I thought, okay, somebody's broken in, and because I was babysitting just two doors down at a friend's place, and I had called my friend next door and got her to come over, and we checked the whole house and there was nobody there, and so she went over to her mom, who was Aboriginal, and told her mom, and her mom told her to tell me to say a prayer for him, and he was wandering and he needed to go home. So so that I did, and after that I didn't see anymore, but I sure felt a lot of things around me. Like I felt like I was being watched. We lived in a house where you went into the basement, you didn't feel welcome down there. There was a room upstairs where, you know, like you felt like you were being, somebody was there and they, you know, they didn't want you there. And I just took it as though it's just my imagination. I was told it was just my imagination, and unbeknownst to me, it was the start of something that was to come, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, we got that a lot when we were young. Oh, it's just your imagination. No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now I see just out of the corner of my eye. I haven't since the age of 15. I haven't really seen a full apparition, just part of one. I've had them talk to me, and I've had visions, and So I know what it's like to be tested. So both my girls, they see and they talk to them, and so I mean it's down from the generations. My grandmother used to read tea leaves and cards, and her mother used to do things like that, and my dad's mother was a medicine woman, and so it runs through the generation.
You know, I it's pretty tough, you know, with Dale being the spirit person she is. It was too hard to accept that, you know, that you had spirits around me. But I have to tell you this little incident that I experienced, and it was about 3 years ago, I guess. It's been 3 years since my father's passed away, Dale.
Oh, I think it's longer than that. Yeah, it's more like 6 years.
Six years. Just he's still in my mind, so I guess mm-hmm. I haven't accepted loss yet. But anyways, I'm lying there sleeping, my feet are tingling like there's somebody playing with my feet, and I love when Dale rubs my feet there. That was really good because I'm always on my feet all the time, so it was really nice to get them rubbed. And I just happen to wake up, and Dale's sleeping, and matter of fact, she's snoring away, and I'm thinking, and I'm thinking to myself, you know,
my secrets.
Yeah, I didn't say anything to her, and then of course, then went back to sleep, and my hair started to, as if somebody was playing with my hair. You know, so I woke up again and looked over, and there's Dale sawing off logs like you wouldn't believe. She's got a lumber mill going on there. And so I asked her, I said, I had some strange things happen to me. And Dale said to me, first of all, she said right off the bat, she said, yeah, spirit's with you. I can sense it right off the bat. And I'm going, wow. All right. He says, if it bothers you, just tell him to go away. And I said, oh, okay. So, you know, I started to think about stuff. And so we were having this one gathering of things just to come over for dinner. I don't know if it was a special occasion or it was just that we just wanted to have a few people over. And Derek and Marina were invited, and Barbara and Ozzy were there. We're hearing Barbara tonight, and of course Barbara's a very, very well trusted spiritual person, and Derek, of course, you know, I always used to bug him when I was living in the trailer park with Derek, you know, going, yeah, touch me and you get zapped sort of thing. And of course, we also had a neighbor, and
she turned out to be Barbara's friend 50 years ago.
So she was also into the spirit world because she was into astrology. And so I figured, well, you know what? You know, if I'm going to get confirmation that somebody's around in the house, I'm going to ask. So I approached Derek, and I said to Derek, and I says, called him away, and I said, listen, there's somebody in the house. Can you tell me what's going on? And he says, and I said, I don't want you to tell anybody that I've asked you this. I just want you to keep this to yourself, okay? He said, fine. So he says, I sense there's a man, an elderly man, and he's from Scotland, and he's come to get somebody here. And I says, oh, really? He says, yeah. I sense a lot of alcoholism in here for some reason, and I thought, oh, okay. So, you know, I just shrugged it off, and Derek went back to his chair, and about 15 minutes later, I called Barbara over, and I asked her the same questions, and she gave me the exact same answers. This was a confirmation that I only needed to have two people do, because these two people did not know what I was talking about. So
yeah.
I just wanted to do one more thing, and I went and asked Corey. And I asked Corey, I said, well, you're a medium. She said, yeah, oh, yeah. I into the spirit world. And I says, listen, there's somebody in the house and he's been bothering me, sort of thing, or he's trying to give me a message. And she gave me the exact same answer as Derek and Barbara.
Wow.
And that just blew me away. And then, of course, then I opened up the discussion about, you know, that I've asked three people in the room privately about this conversation, and they all looked at each other. They all looked at each other like, you know, like they knew that they already had said what they had said. And then, what was it, three days later, my father had passed away, and my dad died of alcohol poisoning.
Wow.
Yeah, so I, from that point on, I've always been a believer. And
well, it was his dad.
It was my grandfather that actually came to get his son.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I know what Derek meant by the smell of alcoholism. I've had that a couple of times in my home. I guess I don't know if it's the spirit that used to belong here or the spirit that used to belong to the surroundings, because the house in our back lane, right across from us, used to be the original house, I should say, not used to be, it is the original house that sat on the farm, and this area that I'm in was nothing but farm. And the lady that lived there, she, when we would go out and we would talk, she would tell us that it was her dad's land, and the city bought parcels from him and decided to, you know, to, I guess this was before he passed away, and I don't know whether he was a drinker or not, but the sense that I got was this gentleman belonged to this area, and the smell of alcohol that I could smell, it was like somebody had been on a binge for a week. You know that type of smell? Like you smell the old alcohol? Well, that's what I would get every once in a while in here. So I don't know if he was coming to see if everything was okay, or he didn't bother me or anything. It was just the smell that bothered me, and I never had to deal with him, so I just left things alone. So he left me alone, I left him alone, but he sure let me know he was there.
You know, it's funny.
Terrible
to know. It's funny we should talk about that, the sense of smell, because they can come in with a certain scent, the spirits. And I remember smelling some aftershave, and it reminded me of Dale's dad. And I said,
Dale,
your dad is visiting us here, because I could smell the aftershave.
Wow. And it's funny you say that, because my grandma, my Métis grandma, she comes and visits me every once in a while, because she used to use this special soap when she was cleaning. Like, it didn't matter whether it was laundry or washing the floor or whatever. She used to take the bar of sunlight soap, and she used to shave it off into her wash for clothes, and she used to shave it off into her bucket for washing her floors. And every time you walked into her house, you knew she had done the floors, or it was washing day, because you could smell that smell. Well, every once in a while, when she wants me to know she's here, I smell that smell, and it's a very comforting smell.
Yeah, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you were mentioning about seeing out of your peripheral spirit rather than face-on apparition.
Mm-hmm.
I've only had the experience of seeing an apparition twice, and it was the same one, once before Dale and I married. Scared the bejeevies out of me, I'm telling you, because I thought somebody broke my apartment, and I sort of hollered. And she just smiled and then faded away. You know, it was just unbelievable, right? Because, I mean, I've seen things in vision and different things, but never with my own eyes. And then she appeared once here, and which was really interesting. But most of the time, like you say, I see shadows or peripheral movements.
Yep.
And sometimes I even see the spirit of our kitty that was killed, which was interesting. And when I had a kitty before Dale and I met, she had passed over, and people would come and visit me, and they'd say, "Do you have a cat?" And I'd say, "Well, I used to." And they said, "Oh, well, we just saw one going down the hall." So you know what? Our pet spirits also come and visit us.
Oh yeah, we had a German Shepherd about 19 years ago, and unfortunately, we had to put him down. But he comes every once in a while because we have a dog now. But when this dog is sleeping, you can hear the tags on the collar. You could hear them rattling like the dog's walking down the hallway. So one evening my daughter got up thinking that the dog was roaming, you know, being restless, and when she got up, he was in the other room sleeping with my other daughter. So we definitely know the pets come back, but our dog is sensitive to spirit too.
Yeah, well, I believe that the animals are probably more sensitive than we are.
My our dog that we have now, he chased a spirit up the stairs. He was going crazy until we said, "Okay, go get it," and he chased it. It was unreal.
Yeah, it's interesting, the spirit world. You know, it really proves to us that we're not all that there is. That
no.
There's so much out there, so much more to us than just what you can see, right?
Yeah.
And I think even science is starting to prove that.
They're doing a lot of experiments. You know, just to prove, like, well, I think, I don't know if it's to disprove or what it is, but, you know, they've been finding out a few things.
I have to tell you something cute. I'm not one that naturally saw auras, and so I was practicing one day with my youngest son, and he said to me, "I thought everybody could see auras around people, colors around people." I said, "What are you talking about, Dan?" And he said, "Well, I've always seen them. I just thought everybody saw them."
Oh, wow, eh?
Isn't that something? And I mean, I mean, I would have guessed that my son was inclined that way because he had never said anything, you know.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Like you talked about your daughters, right, how it's passed down to the families. Well, obviously it is in all families that have a strong spiritual side to them, you know. Sometimes, you know, the kids don't tell you about it, but it can, you know, it can very well be there. So any more experiences, Joanne?
Pardon me?
I'm saying, since nobody's rushing to phone in and tell us their scary stories, we'll just carry on.
Well, I thought I heard a beep.
Oh, did you? Oh, well, yeah, but it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah. Well, they've poked me, I've been woken up to my hand being caressed and them jabbing me in the back and wanting my attention. I've even had them, like, all I did was, one time was just close my eyes to relax. I was sitting in the living room, and I just closed my eyes to relax, and this face out of nowhere just popped into my, right in front of me and said, and yelled at me, "Hey," and so that's when I sat up and I said, "Look, don't be rude. You want to talk, talk." And they didn't bother me.
Have you ever had the experience, and I have, of your name being called?
Yes.
There, it's sort of like a wake-up call.
Yes, quite often I've heard my mother-in-law calling me. Quite often I've heard my grandmother calling me. And just the other day I was on the computer, and I thought I heard my husband calling me, and it sounded like he was upstairs on the second floor. So I turned to my daughter and I said, "What does your dad want?" And she said, "What do you mean, what does he want?" And I said, "Well, didn't he just call my name?" She said, "No, he's sleeping in the chair." So I went, "Oh, okay." So somebody was trying to get my attention, and I didn't know why.
Yeah, Dale and I have that experience a lot. That's with people, you know, when they're close together like that. You know, Dale will say, "Did you call me?" "No." "Oh, I thought I heard you."
I think it's just our old age.
It could be.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting. I'm just like amazed at the things that I pick up and how truthful they are. It's like growing up from a child. I always had this one dream that I was swimming in muddy, murky water, and I was trying to find some place where I could get out of it, and all in front of me was like you could see fence posts like you do in the country on farms, and straight ahead of me was this shack, and the only part that you could see of the shack was the about three-quarters of the roof, and I was trying my darndest to get to that roof. The only thing is, I wasn't a female. I was a male, and so I thought, well, this is really odd. Why am I dreaming this? And I would make it to about maybe the second post, and then I'd wake up. I wouldn't remember anymore. And then one day, I started researching things and whatnot, and I had the dream again, and I truly believe that I dreamt of a past life, and so I had asked my guides, if this was a past life, please give me a name of this person I dream of, and I got the name, and I looked it up on the internet, and the only thing I didn't get was a year, and but there is a lot of men with this name, and a lot of them died young. So I don't know exactly how old I was or what year it was, but I know I had drowned, so I know it was a past life. And ever since then, I haven't dreamt about it.
I'm getting 1936.
Oh, see, somebody else told me between 1920 and 1930.
Yeah, I got 1936.
Wow,
pretty close.
Yeah, well, I'll have to look that up again.
Yeah,
and see what I can find. Yeah.
Anyways, Joanne, it's been.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for being our impromptu guest. By the way, it was really a pleasure to have you visit with us and chat with us. It was a lot of fun, and we really enjoyed having you on.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, and we'll just have to have you back again.
Oh, okay. Maybe after I have the next vigil.
Yeah.
There you go.
Bill and I would like to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in, and our directors, Don, Doug, and Seth, and the sponsors of the BBS radio station for allowing us to present this program to you each week. Please send feedback about our Métis Voices radio show, located on the BBS radio homepage. And also be sure to visit the museum webpage at www.MichifMétisMuseum.org and our community website at http://MichifMétisMuseum.ning.com. And please check out the happenings, different programs that are going on the various Métis communities.
Next week, Friday, November the 7th, we are pleased to have on our show an elder, Patty Roosevelt, manager of the North Fraser Métis Association. Patty is a very busy lady, and she will tell us all about what she's doing in her Métis community on the Lower Mainland. We're really looking forward to this. So please tune in next week, same time, 7:55 Pacific Standard Time. Have a good week. Take care. Until then, merci.